be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. That's your heart's desire. You'll be somewhere listening for your name. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? And you enjoyed service here last night. Had a tremendous time, didn't we? Give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. These services get more precious all the time. I'll tell you the truth. That's our life, Brother Terry, is being able to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice warm smile, a good strong handshake, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God this morning. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Hey, Ryan. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you, brother. Love you. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you, brother. Good to see you, buddy. All play it, guys. God bless you. Good to see you.
listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere.
The name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. You cut that out. Amen. Brother Ron and Sister Joy Sherman want us to pray on a situation they've had this morning. Had a water leak in our kitchen, which has destroyed our wood flooring. The people doing the restoration said it could take one and a half months, up to 3 months, or up to 6 months, to possibly up to 3 months for all the repairs to be completed. We're praying that it will be quickly completed. Please join us in this prayer so that water situation can devastate a house, I'll tell you that. So let's pray that the Lord would help those folks to do a speedy work. Sister Meredith Maxwell's address is on the bulletin board. For anyone who may want to send her a card, I'm sure she would appreciate that and want to continue to pray for her recovery. Sister Sherry Hayton says, please pray for a special unspoken request concerning my sister. She needs the will of the Lord to be done in her life, so let's just commit that to the Lord today and ask God to be mindful of her. Please pray for Sister Betty Waller. She is sick with flu-like symptoms, so let's pray for that need this morning as we pray. Please pray for my sister, Christy Olson, who is having medical tests on this coming Friday. Brother Kirk Sacker sends that in. So we certainly pray for her that all will be well with her. I want to pray for Sister Judy Keith. She's having a lot of pain in her hips and in her lower back, having a lot of problems walking. Thank you and may God bless. So let's remember her as we pray today that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Brother Baker says he has, please have prayer for my wife who has been suffering with her side and also her back. Please pray for some special unspoken prayer requests the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord this morning. Want to continue to pray for Sister Becky Lynch's father. He has had a stroke and is in serious condition. Pray also for the family. So let's remember that need this morning. And if you will, I want you to remember my sister in prayer this morning, Judy Benson. She had hip replacement surgery on Wednesday, I believe it was, and came through that really well, but she picked up some kind of a bacteria and had to be taken back to the emergency room last night, and just the difficulties of recovering from her surgery on this bacteria that she's picked up. Just remember her in prayer, if you would, this morning. Also, Norman Wilson family. Many of you have heard the Primitive Quartet, just a bunch of good old boys that I believe love the Lord with all their heart. And this man sang in that quartet and died suddenly of a heart attack while on a hunting trip. So let's pray for that family that the Lord would just comfort their hearts during this time. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, you believe we're serving a great big God.
Amen.
But He's so small, He can live right here. I love Him for that, don't you? He's got the whole world in His hands, but He can live right here. I appreciate it, God, like that. Let's stand this morning. Brother Daniel, if you'd come this morning, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Amen. God bless you, buddy. We appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you.
Amen. It's good to be in church this morning. Amen. It's good to be walking up and down the aisles without limping. Amen. God's still here. He's still on the throne. Amen. I remember a story I told sometime about a girl that was on my airplane. Her dad was the pilot. And he was a commercial flight, and he was flying overseas. And she was in the passenger's part of the plane, and she fell asleep. And during the flight, they run into a bad storm. And the steward woke the girl up and told her to fasten her seatbelt. Said, "We're in a bad storm." And the young girl looked up at her, and she said, "Is my father in the cockpit?" And she said, "Yes, your father is in the cockpit." She turned over and went back to sleep. You know, I'm glad that we got Afghanistan, we got Ebola, we got all the things that's in the world today, but God is still in control. Amen. He's still taking care of us. Amen. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be in the service this morning. Thank you, God, for the service that we was in last night, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the words that you spoke through Brother Donnie. Heavenly Father, we're just looking forward to your words today. We just pray, God, that you'll take complete charge of this service. God, everything that will hinder this service that might be in our lives, help us, God, to lay them aside that you might have complete control. And now, God, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you'll heal every sickness among us, that you'll save our lost loved ones. God, that you'll deliver your people, those overseas, by internet, by tapes, in our fellowship hall, wherever they may be. God, we pray that you'll move for them. God, we pray now that you'll take charge of this service. Thank you for our visitors. Keep your hand up on us in Jesus' name. We'll give you the praise. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here with us this morning, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. How many visitors do we have with us today? Raise your hands. God bless you. Let's give our visitors a nice hand this morning. Certainly glad to have all of you here with us to the service. All those that are streaming the service today, we pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. When I'm growing old and feeble, Lord, stand by me. How many of you know that He will stand by you? Because He said, if you'll stand for me on earth, I'll stand for you on the other side. Do you believe that this morning? How many of you glad you're standing for Him today? Do you appreciate the fact that you are counted worthy to stand for Him in this hour? You're right here in Satan's living room, but you're standing for the cause of Jesus Christ. Give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, give Him another good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
When the storms of life are raging, oh, when the storms of life are raging, when the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water. Oh, I believe You'll do it, church. In the midst of tribulation, oh, say it to Him. Oh, in the midst of tribulation, my faults and failures, oh, in the midst of my faults and my failures, oh, when I do midst of persecution. Oh, in the midst of persecution. Stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. Now when we're growing old and feeble, oh, when I'm growing Lord, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Now in the midst of my fall and failures, oh, sing it to him. In the midst of my faults and my failures, oh, when I do the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all me, stand by me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of that. That sounds like home to me. Brother Harry's got voice problems this morning, so we're not gonna put any pressure on him. But go ahead and get your mic around there just in case we need you, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love that guy right there, don't we? Amen. 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 Actually, we love all these guys up here on this platform. Every one of you. We love you guys. The Lord has blessed Happy Valley with some wonderful musicians. Wonderful musicians. We praise the Lord for them. Let's sing a little bit of this song this morning. That sounds like home to me. The more we hear about it, the more it makes us want to go. The more we hear about it, the more it sounds familiar to us. Aren't you glad you've got a place to go? A lot of people live this life. When this life is over, they got nowhere to go. They have no hope of eternal life. Their damnation awaits them. But I'm so glad because somebody stretched his hands on an old rugged cross, gave his life unconditionally for me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was in awful shape. He loves you today when sometimes your life falls apart. He still loves you. He's given you somewhere to go. Aren't you glad you got a home to go to? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming there forever, and the crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like there'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds. Can you sing it? All right.
there inside the sea.
God bless Brother Harry.
A crystal river flowing.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
A tree of life.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
No more pain, no disappointments ever come there.
Oh, that's right,
and Jesus Christ, my God, will be the light.
Let's sing about it, church. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I'm home to be. There'll be no tears in our eyes again.
Hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Sing the chorus. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I'm home to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again.
Hills will echo with love's great story. Sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother David Swanson has a song for us. Also, Sister Molly, Sister Laura, Sister Anna, and Sister Cindy have a song. If they'll come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing when Brother David sings this morning, give our singers a nice hand as they come this morning. Praise the Lord.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storms howled above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there's no need to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Oh, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Oh, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Oh, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe, O Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by.
The Lord.
What? He found him faithful and true. And what he did back yesterday, he'll do the same for you today. Our God never disappoints, so cast out all your fears and doubts. On your stormy seas, come walking out, for Jesus is here. All that you're praying for, all that you're trusting for, whatever you need of Him, our God is here. All that you're thirsting for, you just believe once more. He'll hear when you call on Him. Yes, our God is here. In your sickness, in your weakness, just believe. He paid the price on Calvary. Your enemy is under your feet. Jesus is here. No fear, no doubt, no no retreat. Jehovah God is our victory. Only believe Jesus is here. And all that you're praying for, all that you're trusting for,
if you would. I'm grateful that He is with us. I'm grateful we are. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. I want to speak to you again today on the power of assimilation. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, down through verses 10. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to find yourself in the Word?
Amen.
Do you know the things the prophet of God said about you? Me and thee. It's our inheritance. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. And as I looked at this word last night, it means to liquefy and to run like wax. It takes all your strength away, depletes you, have no ability left to fight. So they made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You see, this guy had an experience with God himself. He wasn't just serving Moses God, but the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now Moses answers back and says, he's your God and he's my God. Amen. So see, Caleb is saying what the prophet said. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. You imagine, 45 years later, and he's just as determined then as he was when it first happened. Are you? Reading it historically is wonderful, but present tense, that's what counts for us. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day. And some of the historians say this was Caleb's birthday. I am this day 85 years old. So he's 85 on his birthday. And he asked for a little quiet place of a cabin on the side of a hill where there'd be no trouble. I think not. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how we appreciate your word so much. We thank you for gallant men like this, Father, that have lived down through time, that have stood for your word in the time of trouble and opposition. Yet, Father, they believed you so much. They were consumed, as it were, with your will. I pray, Father God, that you'd speak to us today from your word. May we be benefited by these scriptures and things that lay before us. Help us that we can be supernaturally charged when we leave this place today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let me read to you the meaning of this word again, assimilate. To take in and incorporate as one's own. Absorb, to bring into conformity with the customs, attitudes, to cause to resemble. How could a man who was so outnumbered for all of those years be able to endure the humiliation, the embarrassment, the strain of walking in the wilderness? Your friends, which you have been in the message with, as we'd say, for years and years, many of them are dying like flies. 14,000 died with the dealings of Balaam. Several thousand dies on this occasion. Several thousand dies on other occasions. The stress and the strain of coming through the wilderness, the difficulty that would have been brought upon him by knowing that these people are not only dying, but they're dying lost. So these people aren't just being cut off in their life, but because they've refused to go on with God's word, they're being separated eternally from the presence of God. Being able to endure all of that for 38 years. Now they're going around and around and around the wilderness for 38 years. So they're waiting. Is it without a cause? It is with a great cause. But it is a cause that works on the negative side of prophecy. You see, there is a positive side of prophecy and there is a negative side, the side by which God says this and this will happen, and many times those things are terrible. It's destruction. It's devastation. It's consequence because of people's unbelief. Now, they are marching in the wilderness for 38 years. They've come out of the land of Egypt. They've been 2 years now whenever they come to deny going into Kadesh Barnea. And now they're going to march for 38 more years. There will be 7 more years added to that in the conquest of the land of Canaan. 45 years before Caleb will ever get his inheritance. How did he stay encouraged? How did he stay uplifted? How do you stay positive when you see multiplied thousands of people leaving your word and your message? How did he stay positive whenever people were dying with plagues, with diseases, and it was brought on by the hand of God? It was not a mad scientist in a laboratory that was conjuring up these diseases and spreading them with a chemical bomb, but God was actually allowing these things to happen. How could you trust and know that he was a loving God when you see tens of thousands of your comrades, people you went to church with, people you've took communion with, people that were baptized in the Red Sea the same day you were baptized in the Red Sea? And yet you look at all of that and know in your heart he is a loving God. I'll tell you, this man had quite a challenge, didn't he? But he was able not only to endure the wilderness journey, but to come out of the wilderness journey as an overcomer. Now, Caleb was quite different, thank God, than the majority of the rest of these people. Notice in verse 7, he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Now, for 45 years, he has hid this word. Notice what he says, I brought word as it was in my heart. So the word that Caleb brought was a representation of the land which he saw. But the land which he saw did match or correlate with his heart. So what he said about the land wasn't saying it because he heard somebody else say it. As a matter of fact, he was the only one who said it. Joshua on that day, for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't give us anything that Joshua actually said. No doubt it was for a reason. So Caleb is the only one when 10 are outnumbering him and saying, oh, we can't do it. There's no way. The people's too big. The cities are too big. The walls are too tall. So he's the only man with a positive confession that says, we are more than able to take it. Let's go up today. Let's have lunch and go right now. I mean, we're able to do it. He's the only one that really believes what God has said and verbally saying it. Now, then how is he able then? Because Caleb, for 45 years, rehearses and feeds upon the same promise that he believed initially when he came to this word. That's right. So he listened to it. He believed it. He meditated on it. He fed upon it. Oh, thank the Lord. Now notice he said, I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So faith, his faith, his entire faith walk was built upon the divine promise of God that God was going to give to him that land. Now let me tap back on a little bit of what we touched on last night. That Caleb was the type of believer that had broke into a relative understanding of the mystery of God and to know that God give installments of fulfillment. That God would give you an installment of a future fulfillment, that he would not give you the complete fulfillment of that promised word, but God might give you a little installment this week, and another installment next week, and another installment the next week. And he understood that this was the principle of God. I would to God every believer set here in this building today would be able to walk out those doors and understand that your God is the same God today, that he is a God who pays installments of fulfillment. He may not give you all the promise. You remember that Abraham owned one title deed to a piece of property when he was on this earth. It was not 10 million acres in Palestine. It was not orchards. It was not rivers. It was not streams. It was a graveyard. But it was an installment.
of fulfillment. Now Caleb, by this promise, God, the first promise God gave him was, you will live and you're not going to die till you possess that land. So daily, as Caleb would get up and his strength was renewed, or as Caleb would get over a sickness or an illness or a disease, he fed upon that promise. Then the installment of every healing, the installment of every miracle, the installment of every victorious day that he lived would encourage him to know that God will also complete the second promise of entire possession. If you and I could understand, our God still works on installments today. Whenever you believed him and you were saved, you got an installment of the Spirit of God. When you were sanctified, you got another installment. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a great big installment. When you received the revelation of this message, you got an installment. When you got a message, hallelujah, a revelation of serpent seed, you got another installment. When you got a revelation of predestination, you got another installment. What are we waiting for? The last payment to the body chain. We're waiting on the last installment to complete fulfillment. Oh, thank you, Lord. So the daily fulfillment of this one promise led to the burning fire in his face that God would fulfill the other. Now notice this, Caleb goes on to say, nevertheless my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He refused to join in. It didn't make no difference whether it's politically correct or not. He was way outnumbered. All the people, now thousands times thousands of people are joining up with them. Didn't mean one thing to him at all. Why? Because he spoke what was in his heart. Now, Caleb, of course, as we realize, being a Kenizzite, being of the lineage of Edom, his father marrying a daughter of Hur down in the land of Egypt, he was engrafted into the tribe of Judah. So because he was not born in the message, he was not born a Jew, but he became, as Paul said in the book of Galatians, a real Jew is a Jew inwardly, not outwardly. So Caleb was a real Jew. His faith was not hereditary. His grandpa, his great-grandpa, his uncle, his mama, none of them, oh glory, none of them had taught him about it, but it was a revelation from God. That's right. So it wasn't hereditary, but his faith was actually the fruit of conviction. You understand that? It was a fruit of conviction. Why don't you sisters cut your hair and bob your hair and paint your face and all that sort of thing? Because it is a fruit of your conviction. Now if you only do it because I say don't do it, then you don't have real faith about why you don't do it. But if you do it because it is a fruit of your conviction, it's been revealed to me. I'm not supposed to cut my hair. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. It is a fruit of your conviction. But if you just say, well, mama didn't do it, grandma didn't do it, Aunt Lucy didn't do it, Aunt Susabelle didn't do it, you know what? You have inherited that type of faith. But if it is a fruit of your conviction, if Aunt Susabelle, Aunt Lulabelle, Aunt Hububelle, and all the rest of the bells cut there, you ain't cutting yours off, because yours is not hereditary. It is a conviction from your soul. Which is why folks are leaving the message today. It's not been a conviction, no how. And this is where we are in time. We're fixing to cross over and they got to leave. Dr. Ray. Now notice, Caleb displayed this faith through his entire lifelong experience with God. Notice in verse 9, Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So now he's going to give him by predestination. Now remember, nothing is given yet. But this is a promise. But faith looks at the promise and says, it's as good as mine. He already drawed out his house plans, no doubt, his barn, his garden, his orchards. I'm going to do this over there and this over there. Are you already making your plans what you're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb? You ought to. Are you already, have you already made up your plans where you're going to live in the millennium? Have you already made up your plan? I ain't going to be in hell during the millennium. I ain't going to be in the tribulation period. Don't count on me being lost. And my plans are already made to live in eternity in the presence of God while my faith says it's done. Oh, look at him in verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He's given me installment after installment after installment after installment. Now it's time for promise 2. Now, how come he don't go over and just sit down and wait for Joshua to come and tell him this? Why is he making this claim? Why don't he wait on Joshua? Just go over and wait him, go over and say, well, I'll wait for Joshua to do it. And when Brother Donnie and the deacons and the trustees and everybody votes for it, then I might do it. Why is this man standing here and saying, hey, I've been patient, I've been long-suffering, but I want my mountain. He's not being arrogant. He's not being proud. He's not going by his flesh. He knows the time. It must have been the season for the promise of Caleb's inheritance to come to pass. Glory. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Oh, my. 38 years has elapsed. 38 years going around and around and around, and I was faithful. 38 years of complaining and grumbling and fussing and fighting and death and sickness and disease. And I was faithful. 7 years I've been in the conquest of fighting the Amorites, the Midianites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. I haven't complained. I gave my sword, but today is my day. My hour has arrived and I want my mountain. Hallelujah! Oh, he's not been impatient. He's not been, all right, I want mine first, I want mine first. He's waited. We waited on Paul. We waited on Irenaeus. We waited on Luther. We waited on Wesley. But this is my time. This is your time, saints. Oh, glory. Notice this, he says in verse 11, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. You imagine some of the other people around him. Right. 85 years old. Poor old guy. He read the message too much. He went nuts. Now to say, glory, I'm just as much a believer today as I was then. That ain't what he's saying. He said, I'm just as ready to fight. Come on. Come on, devil. Come on. You want to fight? Come on. Now the question is this. Are some of you just as strong today as you were, say, 5 years ago? Or two? Or a year? Now you're the only one that can really honestly answer yourself. Where are you today? Because we're fixing to go in. I believe that all my heart, friends. We're closer than we've ever been before. Oh my. I am a strong this day. Sound in mind. I've got my understanding. I've got my judgment on how to discern right from wrong. I've got my strengths. I've got my determination. There ain't one thing lacking in me of what it was 40 years ago. This is my kind of man right here. Notice he says, I was in the day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now. Wow. At 85. Now listen to what he says. For war. Well, Caleb, we was thinking of maybe making you a member of the local 4-H club or something. And you could teach young people how to plant petunias. We think you'd make a great squash gardener. You don't have to do nothing. You just come out and sit down and we'll set you a chair and you just kind of walk up on your cane and just sit down there and you don't have to preach or nothing. Just sit down and teach them how to grow squash. And he said, I'm able to fight. Squash? Hey, a squash might have hit a giant in the head, but I ain't grown no squash yet. Don't you retire me. I ain't going into Hebron for retirement. I'm going there for war. I've gone there for war. I want my inheritance. Now maybe he felt like he needed to say this to Joshua so that Joshua wouldn't be questioning his strength and his ability to fight. So he wanted to reassure Joshua that he was able not only to go in. Don't you roll me in no wheelchair, he said. Don't you carry me in no ambulance. I'll walk in and I'll walk out. But you might need some big old stretchers for them long neck guys. Because when I get done, they're going to be gone. Glory. How could this man say this? He had assimilated the promise of God with such a fervency that for 45 years that promise, as I mentioned last night, Caleb didn't have book after book after book after book, tape after tape after tape after tape. He didn't go to this meeting and that meeting and another meeting and another meeting, and he had one more quote and another quote and another quote. He had two statements, one from the book of Numbers and one from the book of Deuteronomy, but he believed them two promises. And we've got thousands that are made to us from the Bible. We've got thousands that are made to us from the message of the hour. And we're still weak as water. How many quotes does it take to lift us up? How many scriptures does it take to convince us He loves us? Now, of course, since the giants have moved back into Hebron, Joshua knows this. You see, in Joshua's earlier conquest, a few years prior to this, when they start moving across and they take Og and they take the other kings, Sihon and Bashan, and they begin to move in and they come toward Hebron, and they actually drive the giants out, but they don't kill them. But now that they have moved northward, eastward, and westward, some of the south country had now been rehabilitated by the giants. So the sons of Anak, which moved out under Joshua, have now moved back in. You see, giants don't give up easy. And that's the way your giants are doing. When Joshua, the Holy Ghost, is here in the service, anointing a man of God, and them giants may run off your property. But you know what? Maybe tomorrow morning when you go back to work, you may look up and they got a tent set right back up where they was run off from yesterday. You know why, Caleb? Because you're the final voice. Oh, God. You're the final voice that must demand they leave your property and never come back. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? An anointed man of God with the gift in his life can drive devils away from you, but it'll not be his faith that'll keep them away. It'll be your faith, Caleb. Notice in verse 12, now therefore, give me this mountain. So here he is, 85 years old, and he's now going to conclude his speech, his little talk to Joshua. Most old people, they talk about what used to be. I remember when I was a boy and we used to go down to the creek, and I'll tell you one day, I remember in about 1913, not 1923. You remember them in the days there that's old people, all right. Let's see, depression, that's the word I'm trying to say. I remember back in them days, but you know what? Caleb ain't talking about what was. Caleb's talking about what he wants right now. He didn't say, man, I remember them good old days. Boy, them good old days. Hallelujah. Boy, it used to be. He said, good old days, nothing. I'm facing the best day of my life right now. All I need, Joshua, is your go-ahead. Because you're the man. You're the man that God's placed here to push this out. And I'm not going to do anything until I hear from the Holy Ghost. But once the Holy Ghost says attack it, I'm going to attack it. And may I say the same to you today. I don't care what the United States government says. I can't preach on this and I can't preach on that. If the Holy Ghost says attack it, I will attack it. Full force, with all of my might, with all of my strength, with or without you, with or without Congress, with or without the President of the United States. I'm listening for Joshua. I said, I'm listening for Joshua. Of course, some of you all would have used more wisdom than Caleb. You said, maybe I'm overzealous. Maybe I need to face reality. I'm an old man. 85 years old, ain't no spring chicken no more. He never was a spring chicken. He always was an eagle. Maybe saying, I need to use wisdom in this now. My hands is quivering just a little bit. And I can't see quite as good as I could. My neck, I get up in the morning, it's stiff. My back, my lumbago. You know what? Maybe I just need a small place where I can grow a few vegetables. A vegetable garden. And on the outside, I'll make it look so pretty. And I'll make a flower garden. And it's just a nice little stream, no river, nothing like that. Just a little creek or something that'll be over on the side. And I'll just kind of go over and get out of the way and mind my own business and leave everybody alone. Because I've been a troublesome sort of a figure anyway. I don't know why. But I just caused so many deals. I mean, maybe it's time in my life that I just need to go over here and move way back out of everybody's way and just... Not my brother Caleb. So instead of requesting a nice little condo east of Jerusalem, Caleb says, I want the worst spot in the land. You ever remember that place that scared the rest of them liver go Christians to death? You remember that place that scared the rest of them chicken-livered preachers? And they quit preaching this no more and that no more, afraid somebody's going to tell on them? You remember that? Well, that's what I want. Caleb said, you remember that place that scared all of Israel to death? That's my inheritance. The good old days is just fixing to arrive. I don't know how you look at it, friends, but the good old days is laying right in front of me. Oh, sure, I can remember this and that and the other and this and the other. What I can remember ain't nothing for what's laying right in front of my future. I'm telling you that right now. Does he realize what he's asking for? He does. Is he using common sense? He's not. He's using God's sense, which don't always make common sense. You imagine his eyes flashing, his hand twitching on his sword. All I need, Joshua, all I need is your go-ahead. Caleb, they'll put your picture in the paper. They'll make YouTube videos of you. They'll have your name spread from here to there to there. I don't care. I don't care. I want my mountain.
He had been waiting for this time for 45 years. Through the hundreds of miles of marching around and around and around and going nowhere. Through the deaths, through the diseases, through the sicknesses, the complainings, the murmurings. You know, Caleb is the type of man, you're not going to get him involved in a movement against Moses and Aaron. This movement came after they didn't go into Kadesh Barnea. Now remember, when they refused to go on with the word, then Dathan and Korah and Abiram raises up. Caleb was right there, but he refused to be identified with anything that would try to bring down God's prophet and the ministry. You don't find Caleb's name mentioned when Miriam, in her spite against her brother, you don't find Caleb involved in that move either. Now he has to keep himself straight and all these things that are going on. So there's anti-prophet moves that are going on. He don't join it. There's anti-ministry moves that are going on. He don't join it. There's all kinds of moves that are going on for these years of wandering in the wilderness. But he keeps himself clear. How? He focuses on what he's ordained to do. He's not ordained to be a big person, a smart person, or whatever more. He's there to get his predestinated inheritance. And there ain't enough devils in hell to stop him from getting it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. You imagine him getting up one morning. He was sick and dizzy and had to lay back down in the bed. Oh, my, got worse and worse. Maybe it's pneumonia. Maybe the doctors in the camp thought it's TB. Okay, if you're going to die, he said, die. There ain't no way I'm dying. God said, give me a promise. I'm going to have that land. He got over that, and then he got the flu, and then he got over the flu, and then he got the smallpox and the chicken pox and the other pox. All kinds of things going on. It don't mean that the man didn't have trouble. Just because God said you're going to live don't mean you won't fight your way to it. Oh, Caleb will not render his body to the girls of Moab. He stayed straight and had two scriptures. God help us. He was a great but simple man. You know, great men are not always complex men. Great men generally are very simple men. Caleb was a very simple man, but a very great man. How could his success, what could we base it on? We know he's predestinated of God, of course ordained of God. But in the human element, that which we could learn from the human part. What was it about the man that was so outstanding? Two very simple things. He believed God with all of his heart and served God with all of his heart. Very simple. He was not a complicated individual. He was not an individual to try to make such great this, that, and other. Had no selfish motive, no personal objective, nothing in mind, but to just to complete the will of God. Now you realize that as this man is going on, watch what the Bible says in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. And you're wanting this place? You see, there were two other cities with Hebron. Hebron, Debir, and Ahab. So he said, I don't just want Hebron. I want the whole thing. And as a matter of fact, he didn't just want the city center. He wanted the suburbs. And he took all of them too. You imagine as God so moves upon this man. Now he doesn't say this in a way, well, if. Whenever he says, if the Lord will be with me. But when you look at this in the Hebrew, he says these words express conviction without presumption.
expresses not doubt, but full dependence upon God. So the man is not saying, well, if God will be with me, if he will help me. He's not expressing it that way. He's expressing it, God, I need you to help me do it. And I know if you help me, me and you together is quite a team, Lord. Now it's amazing when the spies go down, and they are the majority, and the majority rules in democracies and politicians and all that, but it don't rule with God. The majority measured the giants against their own strength. But Caleb and Joshua measured the giants against God. Because they said, we, they're bigger than us, they're greater than us. And what are they doing? They're comparing themselves to the giants. That's where many of us are defeated and fall flat on our face. Well, I can't do it. I'm not big enough. I'm not smart enough. I ain't been around long enough. Hey, you're fighting the wrong thing, friend. You need to realize this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. All the Lord wants you to be is that sling in his hand or that rock that he can throw. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The majority trembled. Two triumphed. So watch your lot today. Shaking like a leaf or triumphing? The majority had great giants and a little God. But the two had a big God and little teeny giants. How do you get that? The power of assimilation. You assimilate and you look and you listen and you fellowship so much with God till you become assimilative into His nature. That you look at things the same way God does. And God spoke His word. Believe in His word. 1952, the prophet tells us God spoke His word and He believed His own word. You imagine when a son of God takes this word and places it upon his lips. Spirit of God anoints that son of God and he speaks that word. It's the same as deity speaking. Let a Christian, just a Christian, take that word and put it on his lips. It's as weak as dishwater. Will it move? Don't move nothing. Don't even move them, much less the devil. But when a son of God takes it on his lips, why? He assimilates the nature of God. We've assimilated so much the knowledge of Scripture and the knowledge of the message. Well, the prophet said this and the prophet said that and the prophet said this and the prophet said that. It's evident, my friends, many people have not assimilated into the divine nature of God. They'd never turn away from this word if they did. But if you just assimilate the word, then somebody come around you smarter than you are and you'll assimilate to them and you're gone. So Joshua just stands there. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him. Joshua said, I ain't got nothing else to say. Go get it. Go get it. Joshua blessed him, which is granted him his request. And gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite unto this day. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, isn't it amazing how easy we read that verse? It sounds as if though, by reading the verse, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. As if though just by saying it, wham, it happened. But there was a lot that happened between verse 13 and verse 14 in order for the possession to become manifest in his own life. Now let's look at Hebron for a few minutes. Hebron was the place that Abraham came across when Sarah had died. Now Abraham, by promise, owns the entire promised land. Yet he doesn't even have a grave to bury his wife. So he, in the presence of the sons of Heth, which were Hittites, though it was a field, and a cave which lay in the end of that field. The cave of Machpelah. The cave of the two mouths. The double cave. Now, Abraham sees this cave, and not by chance, of course, but by predestination. He begins to talk to the sons of Heth. So the man who owns it says, "Oh, what's 400 shekels of silver between me and you? You're a mighty prince among us. You're a great man among us. My, just take it. Just take it. It's no problem. Just take it. I give it to you." Abraham said, "No. No, if you want to sell the field, I'll buy it." So Abraham weighs out to him the 400 shekels of silver, which was mentioned by him, and they make a covenant. Now, little did the sons of Heth know, Job had been buried in this cave many, many years prior to that. And according to the Jewish rabbis, so also was Adam and Eve. Of course, when you look at the Hurrian text, which was text that was found many, many years ago, written in the Kurian form and found in sealed bottles, and it was about the time of Abraham, and you look at the price of property, you know that Abraham paid an exorbitant amount for this place. And no doubt the sons of Heth felt like they burned him up. I mean, it was the real estate deal of the century. He's going to be able to retire because of this exorbitant price that he charges Abraham. But after all, what would the resurrection be worth? Woo, glory! You realize even whenever it is named years later, Kedjath Arba, it is named the cave of the four. Years afterwards, Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Leah and Joseph. Oh, you say, Abraham by revelation. Remember then, the resurrection that was coming to pass was not universal all over the world. The Bible says, Matthew 27:53, that when he come up out of the grave, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Not all, but many. So Abraham purchases finally a piece of property, a grave plot. So he has his title deed in hand. That depends on how you look at it. You can look at it as a grave plot or a resurrection spot. Just depends on which one your faith will germinize you to look for. Now, if you want to call your walk with God, "Oh, I've been in the message for all these years. Oh, it took me my drinking away. Thank God, saved you cirrhosis of the liver. Oh, I had to give up my smoking them cigars. Good, saved you lung cancer. Oh, my, I had to give up my pornography. Good, kept you from going nuts. Oh, I had to give up this. Oh, I had to give up that." Sound like to me, you got a great plot when you got this message. But a real son or daughter of God said, "Man alive, it delivered me from drinking. It delivered me from lying. It delivered me from Trinitarianism. It delivered me from false doctrine." You know what they've got? They've got a resurrection spot, not a great plot. Why? It has quickened them. They have assimilated into what the message really is. Actually, Hebron would have been the closest thing in the land of Canaan to a sacred spot or a sacred Jewish site. And who gets it? A converted Edomite. It ain't no wonder he asked for it. After Caleb's possession, Hebron was made a city of refuge. After Caleb's possession, Hebron was made a city for the priest to live in. Actually, Caleb moved out of the main city itself and gave it to the priest. And he moved into the suburbs. You can see why he wanted the suburbs. Caleb was a real ministry guy. He believed it. After Caleb possessed Hebron, in the book of Samuel we find out Hebron became a royal city for King David of the tribe of Judah. Notice again verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. The Kenizzite. Caleb, dog. That's what the Hebrew word is. Dog. Kuna. And he owns, possesses up to this time the most sacred spot in all of the land of Canaan. Do you know what the Lord God has given to you? He has given you the most sacred spot of the end time. To be his beloved bride. To set in under the ministry of Malachi 4. Oh, there's other people, other churches. There'll be thousands of them that'll come up and be saved. Absolutely. We do not knock them out. And we don't take their place, but they don't have Hebron. The church, listen to me. The church does not have the resurrection. The first resurrection is not in the denomination. It's in Christ. So bury me in Christ. Hallelujah. What is Christ? The revealed word of the hour. When you've got this message, you've got more than a bunch of books and tapes, my friend. You have got the mind of God, the heart of God, the mouth of God, the voice of God for your day. You have got the place of the resurrection. Notice in verse 15 now, the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. But what's amazing is, when you look at it historically, the historians say the original name of this place was not Kirjath Arba. But the original name of this place was actually Hebron. Notice this in Genesis 13, 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, which is before Caleb ever took it. What are we talking about? A restoration to the original name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Remember, it was here that the Lord God came down to him in a body of flesh. Which is in Hebron. Look at what Hebron means. Association. So the same Hebrew word is the word of close, intimate fellowship. Amen. Glory! So Abram moved his tent and he come to a fitting place. You've got to be at Hebron before God can come and fellowship with you. So Abraham moved to a place called Association and he assimilated Association. And then the Lord appeared in the plains of Mamre to Abraham. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now watch this. Some years later in the life of Abraham in Genesis 23, 2. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. The same as Hebron. So here now the name is changed. From Hebron to Kirjath Arba. Now Kirjath was originally from Saudi Arabia. One of the strain of the giants. So he comes from Saudi Arabia. And he moves over into Hebron and conquers it and renames it. Now he calls it the city of the four. Kirjath Arba, the city of the four, which is himself and his three giant sons. So he renames Association to now the City of the Giants. Pardon me. You may have called some of your places Hollywood and St. Louis and Louisville and Jeffersonville and whatever more. But we want to let you know we're fixing to take the whole thing over and we're going to rename it. Now watch, after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. So when Joshua comes in, it has been renamed and called Kirjath Arba. When Caleb marches on it, he marches under it in two names. He marches under it under the natural name of the age he lives, Laodicea. But he marches on it in the other terms and saying, this is the bride age. It's an amazing thing to me. Our bodies are still in time in Laodicea, but our souls have moved into the bride age, which is eternity. The bride age is not another age, so to speak, with another messenger. It's just the very end of the Laodicean time age. It is the only age that is given the identity to be called such. All the other ages are named after cities. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, all those named after cities, but not this little last few minutes of time. This last few minutes of time is named after who you are, the bride age. Oh, glory. And the God of this evil age was preached when? At the end, right at the very end. Brother Ben didn't preach God of this evil age in 47 and 49 and 51. It was preached right down in 1965. Satan's Eden preached 1965. Thinking Man's Filter 1965. Why? Something erupted at the end of his ministry. It was the introduction of the bride's position in the Word. Hallelujah. It's time that we take back Kirjath Arba and rename it back to the original name of the Word. No wonder with the opening of the seals, he said, I no longer call you church, but I call you bride. Notice this in verse 15. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Ananakims. So a great man among the Ananakims takes Hebron, changes its name, devalues it, kills it through four death messengers. But another great man comes in, Caleb. And he says, I think this has been called Kirjath Arba long enough. I've come back to bring the title deed. And the original title deed calls this place Hebron. When are you ever going to recognize you are not a mere mortal? You've been tacked on with that. That's all we've known for 50 some years of our life or 30 some years of our life. When are we ever going to recognize? I'll tell you when we are. When we ask Caleb, get our inheritance right in the end time. This is right before my friend's war. Oh, my war is fixing to be stopped and the land is fixing to go into rest. That's when Caleb gets his inheritance. They fight and they fight and they labor and they labor. But right at the very last warring, Caleb comes to his place. Notice what follows this portion of the verse. And the land at rest from war. Do you understand what we are doing today? We are giving our bodies, our souls, our gifts to the King of Kings, that He might use us to usher in the millennium. Lord have mercy. Do you believe it? But Brother Donnie, I'm just living a Christian life. Exactly. You're standing as a light in the time of darkness. Brother Terry, but you preacher brothers, can you imagine we are yielding ourselves into the presence of Almighty God and we become the final voice to the final age? Hebron is the last stand. Chapter 15, verse 13, unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah. Why would it say it this way? If he was from Judah, why would it say he was given a part among the children of Judah? Because he was engrafted. As a matter of fact, he became a better member of Judah than some of those that was born in it. Some of the tribe of Judah died in the wilderness. Well, I'm just in Judah. I'm in the message. Well, it's just Brother Donnie. It's Happy Valley. I'll go when I go. Some of these days, some of you folks will realize when you walk up here, an official document is tacked on this door. No more assembly allowed. You might have wished you'd have come on Saturday night, some of you. Some of you's too busy to come on Wednesday. You might have would to God, because Dollywood will still be open, believe me. Your favorite restaurant on Saturday night, it'll all still be open. But one day if they shut this church door down, I wonder how you'll sit at home then and say, I would to God I could hear Brother Donnie preach. I would to God I could hear Brother Louis get up there and sing, oh, what I'd give together front around the altar. And then maybe those meals that you enjoyed and those good times you enjoyed go here and there because you never thought enough about church. I wonder if they won't haunt you then. Come on, children. Don't get quiet on me. Hallelujah. Oh, my. He gave a part among the children of Judah according to the command of the Lord to Joshua. Even the city of Arba, the father of Anak. Which city is Hebron? And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. Shesai, Ahiman, and Telmai, the children of Anak. Judges chapter 1 verse 20, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said. You mean here the prophet of God has been dead for all these years and they're still quoting him. But if you'll notice, they're only giving it to the ones that still quoting him. Oh, that's a good one. Those that quit quoted him died in the wilderness. They gave an inheritance to the man that's still standing up said, the prophet of God said, the prophet of God said, the prophet of God said.
Let me close. But I want you to look at the difference in Caleb and some of the other children of Israel. Judges chapter 1 verse 21, the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and her towns, nor Tanak and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. So here they move into the land and Caleb is the only one who drives them out. And there starts this move in the message in the new land to start letting these Canaanites live. Why? In time, the children of Israel will assimilate right into their idolatry. And some of you wonder why I preach hard, why I preach this. Because I don't want our church filled with a bunch of whores. I don't want our church filled with a bunch of lesbians and homosexuals. I don't want our church filled with a bunch of rebellious people that don't want to live right. Sure, if you're a lesbian, come, get delivered. If you're, if you got sin in your life, come and get delivered. I don't want our church filled with a bunch of devils. I want this place to be a place the Holy Ghost can move. And the Holy Ghost can't move under sin.
Oh, I realize four long message preachers will quit saying that. But not this one. Let's close. Verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naholah, but the Canaanites dwell among them. Notice one town after another, one town after another, and their suburbs, and instead of going in and destroying them as God said, they now have wisdom and love. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Echo, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor the inhabitants of Aleb, or Esivib, nor Helba, nor Aphek, nor Rehob. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh. Look, it's a move in the entire message. And it's right when Caleb comes to his position. So when the real elect are coming to this position, the message, you watch for a drawing back among the message of preachers that are scared to tell the truth and become more politically correct. And they'll let this happen and that happen and that happen because, my goodness, somebody might turn them in. Somebody might do this and that and other. Go ahead. If that's what you want to be, you coward. Chapter 2, verse 1, the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your side. And their gods shall be a snare unto you. You know why? They will start assimilating idolatry into the message. Because now the mindset has changed. It's more popular to let them live. We're all going to heaven anyway. Well, whether you believe Jesus is the Savior, my, what difference does that make? Well, Billy Graham said not long ago, Jesus ain't the only way to heaven. Well, who give Billy the authority to say that? That ain't what Jesus said. Come on. As we go on in time, you just look for it to happen. But Caleb, you keep your eyes on your promise. Well, so-and-so, they're compromising and so-and-so's compromising. I just read to you their fate. Is that what you want? Look, friends, if that's what you want is Happy Valley, I'll gladly resign today. Because I will not stay here. I refuse to stay if I've got a compromise. You say you're scared? Why should I be? I know where I'm standing. I know whose I am and whom I serve. He stood with me before many times and he will do it again. And with you. Praise God. The power of assimilation. What are you going to assimilate to? Laodicea? The world? Compromising? Worrying about being politically correct or being right with God. And I warn you, if you choose to go with Him, you'll be hated. Oh, I've been hated already. Not like you're fixing to be. All it'll take is a few passing of a few laws and we'll be in a fix right here on this hill. But if that's what it takes to bring our rapture, bring it on. I have never been so homesick. You can't even pick up the newspaper and hardly read any good news. You go to Yahoo, you go to Fox, you go to CNN, wherever you go. Try to find something uplifting. Try to find something good. It ain't there. Except for the gospel. I've never been this homesick before.
I've wanted to go to heaven since I was a wee boy. I remember one day, I've told it to you before, it was actually in that time. We'd lived in our old house there in Kentucky. We had a coal stove, burn either wood or coal in the living room. But at night, that stove would go out, the firewood. You know how it was, a pot-belly type stove. So the stove was here in the living room, and you go back through this door, and here was a bedroom, and then you turn left, and that was another bedroom, which wasn't lit up very good. Had one light that hung down off of a cord. And Mama come in there one night, put me to bed. And I don't know why, but I got to thinking about dying and death. Mama, Daddy wasn't serving the Lord. He wasn't in church. So I said, Mama, do I have to die? She said, yes, Tommy. All people have to die. I said, but Mama, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I believe there was something down in me then that was reaching out for life. I didn't give my heart to the Lord then, but it was sometime later that I came up and a little church that was what they called the Church in the Pines, my uncle's church, Highway Holiness Church it was called, sat right on the side of a place there right off the road in a pine thicket. And I went up that night, and I don't remember what the preacher preached. I don't really don't know. But all I know is I went up, and heaven came down and kissed my soul. Praise God. And I've longed about heaven. I've dreamed about it. I've read about it. I've imagined what it would be like, just like you have. But I've never been so homesick for it as I am now. Oh, Brother Donnie, that's because you're an old man and you're wore out and you're ready to retire. Baloney. I ain't ready to retire. I've still got a bunch of good years left as far as I know. I've got serious studied up. You folks ain't never even heard yet. I want to bring them if I can. But on the other side, I get so sick of this world and the sin, the debauchery, and you see our nation. Most of us probably today are Americans as far as nationality. This is our home. For most of you, this is the only nation you've ever lived. It hurts our hearts when we see what it's becoming. Don't it? It hurts our hearts. Oh my. If you're here today and you expect to go in this rapture, let me tell you the requirements for you, Caleb. You've got to believe God with all your heart. And you've got to follow Him wholly. Which is completely with all of your being. 75% will make you miss the rapture. I want you to think how serious this is. If you give God 95% of who you are and keep back 5, you will miss the body change. May God help us. He wants our all or nothing. I'm talking about bride material now. If you're church, sure, give God 10%, go through the tribulation period, be killed, shot, hunted down like dogs, whatever. That's your choice. That's up to you. I'm not dog meat myself. I'm rapture material. I want to serve Him wholly. I learned something years ago. That's why when you come here on Saturday night, if the building's half full, I preach as if there was 10,000 people sitting here. If I come on Wednesday night and 2/3 of you decided not to come to church, that's up to you. I'm going to preach with or without you. And I'm going to preach as if though every one of you are here. Because God won't hold me responsible for you won't being here. He'll hold you responsible for that. But He'll hold me responsible if I adjust my stamina, my strengths, my determination, and the flow of my gift according to the crowd. So I learned years ago, whether I'm preaching to 5 or 500 or whatever it is, preach with all of my might. That's what you ought to do when you come to the house of God. Well, there ain't but half of us here. Well, that means you ought to put forth twice the amount of effort to make up for those that decided not to come for whatever reason.
Well, no, 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 that's exactly right. When we come to the house of God, we're going to be like Gideon. We're going to press on and we're going to say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure I can make it. Well, get out of my way before I run over you. Because I'm going to Hebron. I've got the title deed in my hand and we're fixing to rename this. Hallelujah. It's called a tabernacle of humiliation right now. But before long, my soul is going to lead my body to a change. And it's going to rename it and it's going to call it glorified. Glorified. Not a tabernacle of humiliation, but glorified. Hallelujah. Come, sweet Jesus. We've got a little brother that's going to be baptized today. They'll come and prepare for that. Oh, hallelujah. Children, look at your heart. Look at your life. Be honest with God today. Are you a Caleb wholehearted? Wholeheartedly? If you're not, why don't you make that commitment to God today? And assimilate into this word. No matter who turns away. No matter what pastor leaves. Will it hurt you? Sure, it'll hurt you. But that's not who you are. You're not serving God because your pastor is. You're serving God because your name is on the book. Well, we just sing this together. Housewives, lay brothers, teenagers, all of us. But Donnie, I'm waiting till I get 20. Who says you'll even be 20? Well, I'm waiting till next time. I'm waiting to have a special meeting. We had one today. We have a special meeting today. This is your time. This is your hour. Can you say to the Holy Ghost, Joshua, give me my mountain? Brother Ben tells us in the Church Age book, Caleb is a type of those believers that stay true to Joshua and stand with Joshua in the last days. That's me. That ain't just preachers now. That's you. If you're a real believer. Let's just raise our hands today. If you've got 2.5% or 5% or 47 or 50 or whatever it is that you've kept back from the Lord, why don't you give it to Him? Can you sing it?
Come, sweet Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Come, take me. I really don't belong here now.
Oh,
I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I really want to see you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, come today.
Let everybody sing it now.
Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I really don't belong here now. I want.
Oh, Lord God.
Wednesday, he decided he wanted to be baptized to invite the Lord into his heart. So we're going to join in prayer with him and believe with him today. I've probably said this before, just every time I see one of these children come up here and go into a watery grave, I can't help but think the age that we live in. Not only do we see the world changing so much today, the pressures that are brought upon this age, but the pressure just brought upon this bride. And you've got a child in your home that sees that and still says, I want to stand on this word. That's the greatest thing that you can have. So let's pray with our brother. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord. Lord, that you still have children in our home, Lord, that have a desire to live for you, Lord. Have a desire to have you in their heart, Father. Lord, as we come with our brother, Lord. Lord, he's conforming to Acts 2:38, Lord. But his greatest desire, Lord, is a transformation. A transformation to that word, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that as we heard today, every promise, Lord, that has his name on it in the word, Lord, may he assimilate to that, Father. May he be like Caleb and go forward, Lord, and overcome, Lord. Anything that would stand between him and his promise, Father. We're going to believe with our brother this morning, Lord Jesus, that as he goes down, Lord, in water baptism, Lord, when he comes out, Lord, may he fervently seek that Holy Ghost in his soul, Father. Lord, that's all that will take him through this age, Father. Lord, we can have the word upon word, Lord, but if the Holy Spirit is not quickening that word, Father, it won't do nothing but lip service, Father. I pray that you touch our brother, Lord, as we baptize him this morning. In your name, we thank you for it. Brother Michael, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, you hear the request on my sister's heart today, Lord. Oh, Lord God, these needs in her body. Oh, Father, she wants a closer walk to you, Lord. Wants to be more like you. Wants to be pleasing to you in all of her life, Father. I pray, dear God, you'd grant it to her. That's a great, noble desire. May it be to all of us today, I pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My brother today, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we know you're here. I ask you, Father, that you would help him. These needs in his body, his back, Lord, it's been hurting him now for several days. Lord, he desires to become what he's heard preached. I pray, Father, may he assimilate into that which he's heard. Grant it, dear God. Grant it to him today, Father. I don't believe, Lord, you'd ever dangle it before us if it was not attainable in their lives. Grant it to him, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. I don't I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy. I don't believe you brought me this far to lead me.
Brother Louie. Yep. Can't thank the name. We just sang it last night. Are you ready to take the land? Are you ready to take your land? Are you ready to take this land for the Lord? Thy God is with thee.
Be strong,
strong.
The Lord thy God is with thee. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Sing it, church.
Power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes, there is. There's still power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain. 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 There's an army rising up. Yes, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I can hear the chains, they're falling. I can hear the chains. Chain, breaking every chain, breaking every chain. He's breaking every chain, breaking every chain, breaking every chain. There's still power
in the name of Jesus.
There's still power
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
I can see those chains are falling. I can see those heavy chains are falling.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. God bless you, church. You're dismissed. There's still power in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.